Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. One of the first shows we worked on was Dracula from the Mercury Theater. We had another shot at it in 2008. Here's part one of ART's Dracula with Cole Hornaday as Jonathan Harker, Les Westrum as Van Helsing, Kim Turner as Seward, and Brian Hendrickson as the Count Dracula. American Radio Theater presents a recreation of Orson Welles' Dracula.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Arthur Seward. I am here tonight to bear witness to the truth of certain events which you may find hard to believe, but I ask you to believe them. I have here certain documents, telegrams, clippings from the press of the day, memoranda and letters in various hands. All needless matters have been eliminated. Through the history, almost at variance with the possibilities of contemporary belief, they stand forth as simple fact. I present you first with excerpts from the private journal of Jonathan Harker.
I, Jonathan Harker, lawyer's clerk, articles to Peter Hawkins, Esquire, of Exeter, England, am writing this journal in the hope that if misfortune overtakes me, it may one day come to the eyes of those who love me. I set out from London on the last day of April to visit one of our clients in Eastern Europe. On May the 3rd, I arrived in Budapest and came after nightfall to Klausenburg on the border of Transylvania. At Bistrița, there was a letter of welcome for me from our client, informing me that his carriage would await me at the Borgo Pass. It was signed Dracula.
Bukovina. Coach for Bukovina.
The road was rough, but still we seemed to fly over it with feverish haste. When it grew dark, there seemed to be some excitement among the passengers. They kept speaking to the driver and looking at me, and urging him on with greater speed. The crazy coach rocks from its great leather springs. The mountains seem to come nearer to us on either side.
Coachman! Coachman! What is it? Where are we?
You are nearing your destination, young herr. This is the Borgo Pass.
There are black, rolling clouds overhead, and in the air, the heavy, oppressive sense of thunder. Now, we go through the pass.
The young Aaron is not expected after all.
You are early tonight, my friend.
A calèche with four horses had drawn up beside us.
Let me help you, sir.
The coachman smiled, and the lamplight fell on a hard-looking mouth with very red lips and sharp-looking teeth as white as ivory. We began to move. I looked back. The coach with its load of passengers had vanished from sight. We swept into the darkness of the pass. I struck a match. It was within a few minutes of midnight. Then a dog began to howl somewhere far down the road. The wind was rising, moaning and whistling through the rocks, and the branches of the trees crashed together as we swept along. It grew colder and colder still, and a fine powdery snow began to fall. The baying of wolves sounded nearer and nearer, as if though they were closing round on us from every side. We kept on ascending, always ascending, the howling of wolves growing less. Presently, it ceased altogether. And just then, the moon broke through the black clouds, and by its light, I saw around us a ring of wolves running alongside the carriage in silence, with white teeth and lolling red tongues, with long, sinewy limbs and shaggy hair.
Welcome to my house.
I must have fallen asleep. The carriage had pulled up in the courtyard of a vast, ruined castle. The coachman was nowhere to be seen.
Welcome to my house. Come freely, go safely, and leave something of the happiness you bring.
Count Dracula?
I am Dracula.
The face was strong, very strong, aquiline. The mouth, so far as I could see it under the heavy mustache, was fixed and rather cruel-looking, with strangely sharp white teeth.
You hear them, Mr. Harker?
The wolves?
The children of the night. As you say, Mr. Harker, the wolves. Listen. Come now. There are many things you must tell me tomorrow. Of England, of the estate you have purchased for me.
Yes.
The estate is called Carfax, I believe.
Yes, that is so.
But now I will detain you no longer. You will find your room in readiness, and I advise you not to leave it during the night.
This castle is on the very edge of a terrible precipice. A stone falling from the window would fall 1,000 feet without touching anything. I explored. There are doors, doors, doors everywhere, all of them locked. The door to the great hall, the door to the courtyard, every door in the castle is closed, bolted against me. Castle Dracula is a prison, and I am a prisoner. The next night, I could not sleep. So after a few hours, I got up, and lighting my candle, I placed my shaving mirror on the dressing table and was just beginning to shave.
You feel rested, Mr. Harker?
I had not seen him, although the reflection of the glass covered the whole room behind me. I turned to the glass again. Count Dracula was close to me, and I could see him over my shoulder, but there was no reflection of him in the mirror. It was blank. I started and cut myself on the side of the throat. The blood was trickling down my neck.
Ah! My mirror!
Wipe the blood from your face, Mr. Harker, and take care how you cut yourself. It is more dangerous than you think in this country.
When I awoke, I found most of my things were gone. Passport, my notes, my letter of credit. I could find no trace of them anywhere, and my door was locked from the outside. June 20th. There is work of some kind going on in the castle, and now and then I hear the faraway, muffled sound of mattock and spade, and last night, the second of 3 dated letters which Dracula made me write, the second of that series which was to blot out the very traces of my existence from the earth, went forth.
Count Dracula.
Yes, my young friend.
Well, what of me? When am I free? When can I leave this place?
Free? Mr. Harker, you are always free. You want to leave? Would you like to leave tonight?
Yes. Yes, in God's name.
My dear young friend, not an hour shall wait in my house against your will. Come, follow me. Your door seems to be bolted. How strange, your door is locked.
In God's name, open it.
As you will, Mr. Harker. You English have a proverb which is very close to my heart. Welcome the coming, speed the parting guests.
Good night, Mr. Harker. Shut the door! Shut the door! Shut the door! Shut the door!
The door is shut, Mr. Harker. I take it you will remain?
Morning, June 30th. These may be the last words I ever write in this diary. God preserve my sanity. I have never seen Count Dracula by day. At sunrise, at the first cock crow, he is gone. I don't understand these things. I only know that the wolves are baying and that he is a man with hair on the palms of his hands, with sharp teeth and no blood in his face. He casts no shadow. He cannot be seen in a glass. And he moves like a bat across the sheer face of the castle walls. He eats no food and is mortally afraid of the crucifix. As I write this, I hear in the courtyard the rolling of heavy wheels and cracking of whips. And there, in the passageway below, a pounding of heavy boxes being set down, boxes shaped like coffins. And I know what they hold. The boxes are filled with holy earth from the chapel beneath the castle. The last box is being nailed down, and now I hear the heavy feet tramping again. The door is shut, and the chains rattle. In the courtyard and down the rocky way, the roll of heavy wheels, the crack of whips.
Help! Help! Help!
The wagons have gone. I'm alone in the castle. I'm alone in the castle. I'm alone in the castle. I'm alone. I'm alone. I'm alone.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dr. Seward. Mr. Harker's journal terminates at this point. I now present into evidence a clipping dated August of that year from the Yorkshire Telegraph from my correspondence in Whitby. One of the greatest and sudden storms on record was experienced here today. The weather has been somewhat sultry, but Saturday evening was fine. The band was playing, the piers were crowded with holidaymakers. The winds went away entirely in the evening, and there was a dead calm. There were but few lights at sea. The only sail noticeable was a foreign schooner under full canvas that was seemingly going westward. A little after midnight came a strange sound from over the sea, and high overhead the air began to carry a strange, faint, hollow booming. Then, without warning, the tempest broke. And there, with all sails set, was the foreign schooner rushing with terrific speed toward the shore. A searchlight was turned on her, and there, lashed to the helm, was a corpse, with drooping head which swayed horribly to and fro at each motion of the ship. A moment later, she crashed. Then a strange thing was seen. At the very instant she touched, a huge dog sprang up on deck from below and, running forward, jumped from the bow onto the sand and, making straight up the east cliff toward the graveyard, vanished into the night. The Coast Guard going abroad at dawn found the dead man fastened to a spoke of the wheel. Tightly clutched in one hand was a crucifix. The man must have been dead for quite 2 days. In the pocket of the dead man's coat was found a bottle, carefully corked, containing a roll of paper. This proved to be an addendum to the ship's log. There was found on board only a small amount of cargo, and that of a most unusual nature. Apparently the ship carried nothing but earth, common earth, packed away in wooden boxes, shaped much like coffins.
Olga the Demeter, Russian flag, Black Sea to Whitby, July 6th. Finished taking in cargo. A queer cargo, boxes of earth. At noon, set sail, east wind, fresh. Crew 4 hands, 2 mates, cook, and myself, captain. July 11th, entered Bosphorus. At dark, passed through Dardanelles. Mate reported in morning that one of crew Viadon was missing.
Took larboard watch 8 bells last night. He was relieved by Talisian, who never came to his bunk. There's something aboard this ship.
Ah!
No, don't laugh, Captain. In the rain last night, I saw a tall, thin man go up the companionway and along the deck, forward, and disappear. When I go to the bow, no one, and the hatchways were all closed.
July 22nd. Rough weather last 3 days. all hands busy with sails. No time to be frightened. Past Gibraltar and out through the straits. All well. July 24th. Last night, another hand lost. Disappeared.
Like Felician. He came off his watch at midnight, and we never see him again.
You take your watch now.
I don't take watch alone, no more.
Nor will I.
No more. Double watch.
Double watch.
July 29th. Had single watch tonight, as crew too tired to double. When morning come...
Hey! Hey, Balaki, below! Balaki! Where are the guns?
Balaki gone like the others.
Like all the others.
The mate and I have agreed to go armed henceforth. July 30th. Last night, we are nearing England. Fine weather, all sails set.
Captain! Captain! The men on watch are missing. More missing.
Now, only self and mate and one hand left to work the ship. August 3rd. 2 days of fog and not a sail in sight. At midnight, I went to relieve the man at the wheel, and when I got to it, I found no one there.
It's here. I know it now. I saw it like a man. Taller and thin, ghastly pale. It was in the bows looking out. I gave it my knife, but the knife went right through it, empty as the air.
What are you talking about?
It's here, and I'll find it. It's in the hold, in one of these boxes of earth. I'll unscrew at them one by one, see? And see!
He is mad, stark, raving mad. It's no use my trying to stop him. He can't hurt those big boxes. They are invoiced as common earth.
He's there. There, down in the hole. I know the secret now. The sea will save me from him. It's all that's left. It's all that's left.
August 4th. I am all alone on my ship, and still the fog. I dare not go below. I dare not leave the helm. So here, all night, I stayed. And in the dimness of the night, I saw it. I saw him. God forgive me, but the mate was right to jump overboard. It was better to die like a sailor in the blue water. But I am captain, and I must not leave my ship. I have tied my hands to the wheel. When my strength begins to fail, and along with them, I shall tie that which it dare not touch, my crucifix. I am growing weaker, and the night is coming on. God and the Blessed Virgin help a poor, ignorant soul trying to do his duty.
Telegram, Seward, Purfleet to Van Helsing, Amsterdam. Lucy Westenra in alarming condition. Cannot diagnose. Come at once. Seward.
Telegram, Van Helsing, Amsterdam to Seward, Purfleet. I'm on my way to you. Please arrange for me to examine your patient immediately my arrival. Van Helsing.
Ladies and gentlemen, I shall now explain that 6 months before the events recorded here, I had become engaged to a young lady, Lucy Westenra. We were to be married in the spring. My old teacher, Professor Van Helsing, arrived at 4 the next afternoon. I took him at once to Lucy's house. She lay in her bed asleep. She was ghastly, chalky pale. The red seemed to have gone even from her lips and gums. And the bones of her face stood out.
Young Mrs. Bad, very bad. She must have blood or she will die. She is not anemic. The quality of analysis of her blood is quite normal condition. It is strange. I do not like to think how strange. Look, my God, her throat, look!
The black velvet band that she always wore dragged up a little and showed a red mark on her throat. Just over the external jugular vein were 2 punctures. Not large, but not wholesome-looking. The edges were white and worn-looking. Well, what is it, Professor?
What's wrong with her? Speak frankly. You can tell me the worst.
I wish I could, Seward. I wish I could. But I do not dare.
But won't you tell me anything?
I will tell you this. Your young lady is in a danger greater than death. You must believe me. If you leave here for one moment and harm befalls, you will not sleep easier thereafter.
September 8th. I sat up all night with Lucy.
Arthur, I'm afraid.
My dear, you can sleep tonight. I'm here watching you. Nothing can happen. And I promise, at any sign of bad dreams, if I see anything, I'll wake you at once.
You will? Will you really? Then I'll sleep.
I sat all night by her bedside. She did not wake once during the night, although the boughs of our bat or something slapped almost angrily against the window pane. September 11th. Still quoting from my private journals. This time I received a message from Purfleet. It read, 10:20 p.m., St. John's Hospital. Serious complications, case 891. Your immediate presence in London imperative. I had no choice. Sometime later, a paper was found among Lucy Westenra's belongings.
I write this and leave it to be seen so that no one will get into trouble for me. I went to bed as usual, taking care that the window was closed, as Dr. Van Helsing had directed. About 2 a.m, I awakened. I went to the door, called out, "Arthur! Arthur!" There was no answer. The window. I'm in the room alone. I dare not go out. The house seems to be empty. The air, full of specks, floating, circling in the draft from the window. The light burns blue, dim. What am I to do? Something very sweet and very bitter all around me, like I'm sinking into deep water. They're singing in my ear.
You shall be flesh of my flesh, blood of my blood.
September 12th. Late. Only resolution and habit can let me make an entry tonight. We found her sprawled on the floor, and there was a draft in the room from the broken window. The throat was bare, showing the two wounds, looking horribly white and mangled.
They have failed. God's will be done.
She is dying?
Yes, she is dying. Stay beside her. It will make much difference, mark me, whether she dies conscious or in her sleep.
It was late in the afternoon before she opened her eyes.
Arthur, oh my love, I'm so glad you've come. I'm so glad you've come.
I took her hand and knelt beside her. Her breath came and went like a tired, peaceful child. And then the light from the setting sun fell on her face. And then, insensibly, a strange change came over her. Her eyes grew suddenly dull and hard. Her breathing was heavy. Her mouth opened, and the pale gums drawn back made the teeth look large and sharp.
Arthur, oh, my love, I'm so glad you've come. Kiss me, bend down and kiss me.
Not for your life, not for your living soul and hers.
Lucy!
She is dead.
Poor girl. There's peace for her at last. The end.
Not so. It is only the beginning. Wait and see.
Listen in next week for the conclusion to ART's Dracula. Let's have a listen to some music from the days of old-time radio.
And here are America's sweethearts, Laura Leslie and Don Cornell, step into our quite first spotlight.
someone like you. Yours everything good. Turns wrong into right. Brightens the night. Brings happiness to
me. Makes me luckier than throwing a stamp. And takes me nearer to heaven than anyone's allowed to do. When your heart is dark in a veil, like I'm walking on a cloud with someone like you.
Someday I'll find someone I can boast to. Somebody to hide a bargain of rock to. Snuggle up close to.
And whenever I do, you know the who. Who I'll give the most to. Pray on my mind, say, let's find someone like you.
Jukebox operators and recording critics say that this new Victor recording of ours will be our biggest hit. Wouldn't it be nice if they were right?
You ask where I live. Here's the address I give. The four winds and the seven seas. The hills were my home till I started to roam. The four winds and the seven seas. My love and I would sit inside till the moon grew pale. We vowed and said someday we'd wed in the church in the veil. And a stranger stepped down, a smile and so my love could see. She answered his smile, and then after a while, the only stranger there was me. And that is why my heart is dying. Follow every breeze. You ask where I live. Here's the address I give. The four winds and the seven seas. The four winds and the seven seas. Here's
Why, back in Rocky River, where I come from, a fella needs more than a ring and a license to get married. Why, he's got to have a good plot of land and some livestock, too. Yep, as Don Cornell's going to tell you. Come here, Don.
Ask her, Paul, if we couldn't wed. And he says, why, son, you must be dead in the head. 'Cause the man who wins her pretty little hand, he will surely have to own some farm and land. I went out west with a shovel and a pick, and I worked in our woods, and then pretty quick I struck it rich and bought me a farm with a cute little house and a big red barn. Got a pig, got a cow, got a horse and buggy now, and soon I will be driving down the old highway. Got a farm, got a plow, got a heart for working now. Tomorrow morning is my wedding day. There'll be friends throwing dice, there'll be Applejack on ice, and everybody dancing while the fiddles play. Come along to the hall, you're invited one and all. Tomorrow morning is my wedding day. Got a pig, got a cow, got a horse and buggy now. Soon I will be driving down the old highway. Got a farm, got a plow, got a heart for working now. Tomorrow morning is my wedding day. There'll be friends throwing rice, there'll be Applejack on ice, and everybody's dancing while the fiddles play. Come along to the hall, you're invited one and all. Tomorrow morning is my wedding day.
I've got a room full of dusty manuscripts, but there'll never be much dust on this next song. Beautiful thought. Why do I love you? Why do you love me? Why should there be two happy as we?
Get a kiss. I miss them brains in the world. That's why I'm gonna get. and get wise, watching how the guys walk in their cuties. Making up my mind, gotta go and find one of those beauties. Can't stop me, gonna get a girl, because I ought to have a girl. Because I never had a girl, that's why I'm gonna get a girl.
To sing a little and play his trombone too is Lloyd Roberts.
Ooh, look at that, ain't she pretty? Ooh, look at her, she's a beauty. Now look at those airs, look at her clothes. It's not what she wears, get a load of the pose. Look at there, ain't she pretty? Ooh, isn't that chick a beauty? And someone's bound to fall. Some like her fat, some like her thin, but I like her just in the shape that she's in. Ooh, look at there, ain't she pretty? She's a beauty.
Boy, boy, boy.
Now look at those hairs.
Yeah.
Look at her clothes.
Yeah.
It's not what she wears. Get a load of the pose.
Ooh.
Look at there. Ain't she pretty?
Pretty as a picture, baby.
Ooh. Isn't that she a beauty?
Boy, boy, boy.
And someone's bound to fall.
Oh, beautiful doll.
Some like him fat,
fat,
some like him thin,
thin,
but I like her just in the shape that she's in.
Ooh,
ooh, look at her, ain't she pretty?
What a child.
Ain't she pretty?
Drives me wild.
Ain't she pretty?
North, south, east, and west, here's the tune you've picked for the Chrysler Song of the Week. Maybe it's because. Silver Anniversary Chrysler, the 3K Des.
Maybe it's because the kiss you gave me touched my heart and went right through. I can't tell you why, I only know that I fell helplessly in love with you. Maybe it's because the song we danced to told a story old and new. I can't figure out just why it came about or how I fell in love with you. I could say you're grand and therefore I care for
so. But there is a why or wherefore, and I'd like to know. Maybe it's because the star I wished on made a certain wish come true. Or it just could be that you were meant for me, and maybe I was meant for you.
When I was a kid in school, I used to have trouble with my alphabet. Maybe it's because the letters were only letters to me. I didn't know then they stood for all the nice things that America's sweethearts, Laura Leslie and Don Cornell, are going to say to each other. Gee, what a dummy I must have been.
Hey, you're adorable, me, you're so beautiful, see, you're a cutie full of charms.
Darling, and D, you're exciting, and F, you're a feather in my arms.
G, you look good to me. H, you're so heavenly. I, you're the one I idolize.
J, we're like Jack and Jill. K, you're so kissable. L is the love light in your eyes.
M-N-O-P, I could go on all day.
Q, I, S, T, alphabetically speaking, you're okay.
You made my life complete.
V means you're very sweet. W, X, Y, Z.
It's fun to wander through the alphabet with you to tell you what you mean to me.
This song from my dusty manuscripts came out about the same time as Gone with the Wind. Matter of fact, I'm still reading the book. Almost through, too. And we're still playing the song. I'm in the mood for love.
Thank you.
Tony Alamo with another page from our dusty manuscripts.
Is it a sin? Is it a crime? Loving you, dear, like I do. If it's a crime, then I'm guilty. Guilty of loving you. Maybe I'm wrong, dreaming of you, dreaming the lonely night through. If it's a crime, then I'm guilty, guilty of dreaming of you. What can I do? What can I say after I've taken the blame? You say we're through, you'll go your way, but I'll always feel just the same. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, loving you, dear, like I do. If it's a crime, then I'm guilty, guilty of loving you.
And here are America's sweethearts, Laura Leslie and Don Cornell with
Kiss Me Sweet.
Kiss me simple,
kiss me sweet,
on my dimple.
Kiss me sweet, kiss me simple, kiss me on my little dimple. Kiss me sweet, kiss me simple, kiss my little cares away.
Kiss me night, kiss me morning, kiss me underneath the awning. Kiss me night, kiss me morning, kiss my little cares away.
Make me sigh, make me tremble, make me flutter like a dove.
Make me sigh, make me tremble, give me lots and lots of love.
Kiss me now,
kiss me later,
kiss me like a sweet potato.
Kiss me sweet,
kiss me simple,
kiss my little cares away.
Wearing a freshman beanie back at Ohio U, a lad with a long lower lip and a straw hat on the side of his head was proving the French had a song for it. His name was Maurice Chevalier, and the tune he made famous comes out of our dusty manuscripts now, a number called Louise. Remember it?
Thank you.
days of the bustle and buggy, a musical lament for a lost but not forgotten sweetheart swept the country. Here's Tony Alamo to bring her right up to date.
I wonder who's kissing her now. Wonder who's teaching her how. I wonder who's looking into her eyes, breathing sighs, telling lies. I wonder who's buying the wine, or lips that I used to call mine. I wonder if she ever tells him.
Just outside of New York City, where at certain seasons of the year, the citizens gather every afternoon to watch a group of horses run around an oval track. Well, a few weeks ago, I went out there to observe the goings-on, and though I ended up a little lighter in the pocketbook, I did get an idea for a tune. Here's a Swing and Sway Band playing it, just as we recorded it for Victor, the Belmont Boogie. And running. Come into the home stretch. Thank you.
such a yearning in my heart. Darling, it's a burning tenderness. The flame will grow into a fire as bright as any stars above. So let it glow of my desire. Light your way to my love. I'll keep the love light burning in my heart. So that you can find your way.
Got time for today. Please check out our website, www.americanradiotheater.org, and have a listen to some of our podcasts. You know, we put up a new one every month. For 12 hours of old-time radio listening, stop by radioatofthepast.org for their next marathon in the Fred Bertelsen Room. That's going to be on August 15, 9 a.m. Pacific. That's noon Eastern. Until 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern. Thanks. See you there.